Welcome to the Fifth Quarter Podcast. My name's Rick Samprin. Hamilton's modest two-game winning streak has been wiped out after losing to the Argos again. The Fifth Quarter Podcast begins now.
We've been talking Tiger Cats football for over 50 years. Welcome to the Fifth Quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter. It is brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you are listening to 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with you. We're live on the air on the Radio Player Canada app, online at 900CHML.com, on CHML's Facebook page as well, although my phone battery is at about 60%, which, you know, is still a little bit higher than the Ticats' effort in the first half. I know, low blow, 31-15 the final, Argos beating the Tiger Cats for the eighth time in the last nine outings. And for the Argos, they're 5-0 for the first time since 1960, Ticats falling to 2-4. Lots to talk about on the show tonight. And of course, we'll get your feedback on what you thought of tonight's game. You'll vote for your player of the game. Your summation of the first third of this season for the Black and Gold. Some thoughts from me before we get to you. And we'll start with Taylor Powell, who is making his first CFL start for the Tiger Cats tonight. And the word that comes to mind for me was good. He was good. Given what he was asked to do tonight, which, let's be frank, was not a lot. He was basically managing the game as opposed to being aggressive. The play calling, the schematics for this week, not aggressive, which I understand is understandable. You have a guy making his first start against the division-leading defending champions who have a pretty good defense. You're not going to throw much complexities for him to work with in the ballgame. But from an aggressive standpoint, from an explosive standpoint, we did not see anything tonight from Hamilton's offense. And Tim White was invisible. And I know it takes two to tango, but Powell and White not on the same page at all tonight. I mean, three targets for Tim White, zero catches. He has 19 catches this season. He's on pace for 54 this year. He's averaging three a game. That's just not good enough. So there's my summation on Taylor Powell in the offense. It was another dreadful first half for this Ticats team. I mean, at home, rivalry game, arch rivals, on a two-game winning streak, trying to knock off the defending champs in your home park, and you put up 3 points? Not even close to being good enough. Now, it was nice to see Powell get into the end zone later on in the game, but once again, you know, Hamilton's offense cannot finish drives this season with touchdowns. Red zone offense, not nearly good enough. Not nearly good enough to win ball games. And defensively, and Coach O referenced this at the start. Now, he wasn't just focusing on the defense, but this applies to the D. By the time we woke up, that's a quote from Coach O, by the time we woke up, it was basically game over. They were playing catch-up all game long. It was 20-0 at one point in the first half. Ticats, as you know, scored just 15 in the game. This defense, for whatever reason, was a deer in the headlights in the first half. No one can argue that. Yes, they were much better in the second half. Absolutely. Much better in the second half for this Ticats D. And stop taking dumb penalties. 12 penalties for 100 yards tonight. Toronto was flagged 6 times for 68 yards. Too many penalties. Not explosive enough offense. Horrible red zone offense and play calling. The whole team was not aware that they were playing a ball game at 7:30 this evening. And just not good enough overall. So there's my thought. And in saying that, player of the game tonight for me, you know, if I'm being completely honest, it's Chad Kelly by a landslide. 20 of 27, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran for another. Where do we get a quarterback like that? Well, we got two on the injured list, both on the six game. And apparently they don't grow on trees. But again, Taylor Powell, good. And I'd love to see him grow in the next few games if he's the guy. But if I'm being honest, Chad Kelly's my player of the game. If I had to pick a Tiger Cat, it's probably Terry Godwin. 7 catches, 103 yards. He came to play tonight. Not many of the Tiger Cats did tonight, and that's unfortunate. 905-645-3221. That's my say. Let's hear from you. 905-645-3221. That's the call-in line and the text line as well. You can also send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Already got a bunch of those streaming in. Many caller, our phone lines are jammed already, which is not surprising, and we're going to get to all of you. Everyone who calls tonight will get their piece to say their piece. And you can also jump on CHML's Facebook page as well. For as long as my phone, for as long as my phone is alive. And here's another question. This, I was just reading some of the emails just as the show was about to start. And because we're a third of the way in, we're 2-4 on pace for a 6-12 season. What's the number that you think this Ticats team is going to get to in the win column? I say, if I'm being optimistic, like really optimistic, it's 10 wins. That is, and that might seem like pie in the sky. Rick, take your rose-colored glasses off. If this team gets healthy and gets on a run, yeah, I can see it. But I think this is an 8-win team right now. I think this team finishes 8-10, just like last year, squeezes into the playoffs, and let's see what they do in the dance. All right, enough of me. Time for you, 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. Let's go to Mark on the line first. Mark, good evening. Welcome to the fifth quarter. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How are you, buddy?
I am okay. I'm a little fired up this morning, this evening.
Yeah, me too. So before I ask you, or I speak my mind, I just got to give a shout out to my girlfriend, Shannon, that lives on Vancouver Island. She's a new Ticat fan, and she's going to be coming to the August 5th home game. So shout out to Shannon.
That is awesome. All right. So was she a BC Lions fan before?
Well, her grandfather was.
Oh, okay.
She really had no allegiance until I corrupted her.
Oh, way to go.
I think she's shaking her head now, like, what the hell, buddy?
Yeah, well, what have you done, Mark? What have you done?
That's right. I might get broken up with. Who knows?
Hey, I think you're okay. What's your thoughts on tonight's game?
Well, you know, Powell looked good. Just our secondary is a big brick of Swiss cheese. We let a lot of veterans go in the off season, and I know it's money related and all that, but you could tell. Like our defense, our front is okay, but our secondary is just horrible. And when you're on your third string quarterback, you need a play from your defense, and we just did not get that at all tonight.
I completely agree. And, you know, the front four was okay tonight. You know, they got a couple of sacks. We're not going to get, you know, 4, 5, 6 sacks every game. I thought they contained the run relatively well. The linebacking core, you know, could have done a lot better, although I thought Chris Edwards played one of his best games of the season. But the secondary, my gosh, there was, especially in the first half, there were so many Argonauts so wide open in the first half, it wasn't even funny.
Exactly. And here's the thing with that, with Chris Edwards. A couple of weeks ago, he shoved the guy to the ground and the whole world erupted. Like, oh, cut the guy. Man, that guy's been our best defensive player all season. So you want to cut that guy? Give your head a shake.
Absolutely. Listen, if his head was screwed on straight and he was a stand-up guy and played the way he does, everyone would love him.
Absolutely. And you know what? People make mistakes. And, you know, the whole situation when he fought the Ticat fans, I would have fought the Ticat fans too, because they're probably in his face and being rude and stuff. I've been to Argo Ticat games lots. So, you know, and who cares? You two-hand shove the guy to the ground. It's football. Get over it. The guy's our best player on defense this year.
So, well, yeah, I think it was the way it happened, right? He goes to shake his hand, then he pushes him to the ground.
It was kind of grimy.
Yeah.
So what? Oh, cut the guy? No. You find him and move on.
Mark, who is your player of the game tonight?
It had to be Godwin, man, because and Duke Williams as well. Like he was trying to help the rookie, and Godwin made some good catches, and Duke Williams was like, "What the hell am I going to do? I got to make some catches too." So I'll give it to Godwin and Duke Williams.
All right, sounds good. Mark, thanks for the call, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, thanks. You too, Rick.
That is Mark here on the fifth quarter on 900 CHML, voting for Terry Godwin and Duke Williams, two receivers who were 1-2 in terms of catches and yards for the Ticats tonight. Godwin, 7 receptions, 103 yards. Williams, 6 for 65. Should mention Taylor Powell in his first CFL start, went 27 of 41 for 282 passing yards. He was intercepted once. That turned into a Argos touchdown a little later on in that drive, and he scored a 13-yard touchdown run. By all accounts, I thought he was good. Mark agrees. What do you think? 905-645-3221. Norm is on the line. Hello, Norm. How are you tonight?
How are you tonight?
You know, I'm a little grouchy. How about you?
Well, you know what? I just have a couple comments to say. The first half, the running game, wasn't working at all. Toronto was like a brick wall. And then we come out in the third quarter and try to run against them again. And that's like, they say, you know what? If you do the same thing over and over and over again, and you get the same results, that's a sign of insanity. The second thing is, like, I don't understand why, like, Hamilton plays ball every year like they do. They lose the first few games, and they come back later in the season. And I agree with the last caller. Like, our defensive halfbacks, it's a sieve. Like, what happened back there?
Well, I'll say this. Number one, you're bang on with this team starting slowly, and that has been the case for as long as I can remember. I can't remember this team starting, yeah, you know, 7-2 or something like that. I know what happened in the 15-3 season, but that's one season out of the last how many decades, right? Very few and far between. For the secondary, there's two problems as far as I'm concerned. Number one, the talent level from this year to last year is vastly different. And I think last year's secondary was far more talented. Number two, because there are some new pieces in the secondary, they are still, and it's hard to say even 6 games in, still trying to figure it out. I mean, George Jr. is still trying to figure it out. He seems to be in position, but can't make the big play.
No, that's obvious.
Norm, who's your player of the game tonight?
My player of the game was the Toronto Argonauts quarterback, and I have a prediction for that kid. I think he's going to wind up in Kansas City with the Chiefs.
With Pat Mahomes?
That's a quarterback. That's a football player.
Yeah, you know what? Norm, will let you go, but I appreciate the votes. Chad Kelly with the player of the game vote for Norm. And yeah, to be honest, I can see Chad Kelly in the NFL, maybe not as a starter. But if Nathan Rourke can get a call after he did what he did last year, Chad Kelly is going to get that call. Just a matter of when, as far as I'm concerned. 905-645-3221, star 9900 on your smartphone. You can send me an email, rick@900chml.com. Let's get to the email here. And this is the one I was referencing just before, or a few minutes ago, that I read before the show, and it was from Anthony, who writes, "Hello, Rick. Boy, oh boy, this is going to be a long year. My questions to you, when is Bo expected to be back? Are we going 0-3 against the Argos this year? In seeing what you've seen so far of this team this year, what is your finishing record for the Cats this year? I got them at 6-12. Thank you, Anthony." Well, I already answered that last one. I'm saying 8-10. I mean, and unless I see this team get much healthier and prove to me that game in and game out they can be more electric, more intense, more successful in the red zone, I'm not going to give them more than 8 wins. I just can't do it. "Are we going 0-3 against the Argos this year?" asks Anthony. Well, they're 0-2 right now, and they have 2 more games against Toronto. Of course, the Labor Day Classic on September the 4th, and then they're in Toronto September 23rd. So this is a 4-game season series for the Ballard Cup, if you're still into that. And well, the way Toronto's playing and the way Hamilton's playing, 0-4? Yeah, I'll give the Ticats the win on Labor Day. They usually win on Labor Day. I know they didn't last year, but you know what I mean. this is a team that has its destiny before it. Can it reach the goal that it wants to reach? That's the big question. And Anthony also asks, when is Bo expected to be back? Right now, that's still a question mark. I asked Coach O very recently, you know, what's Bo's status? And while he was not 100% committal on his answer, I got the sense that it's probably a couple of weeks. This is an abductor injury. You know, your throwing motion is going to tug at that kind of injury every time you throw the ball. So understand, you know, they've signed him to a 3-year deal. They want to be careful with that, because if he gets on the field and aggravates it, yeah, we're looking at another 6 weeks. We don't want to see that. 905-645-3221, the call and the text line. Got a text coming in right about now. Hi, Rick, another tough loss. The defense held us in as long as they could. Powell played as well as can be expected in his first start. That said, we made it too easy on the Argos defense by not stretching out the field. Too predictable, as has been the case here for some time. Let's hope we can get healthy and make a mid-season run. We need it. Player of the game is our fans for selling out the place with not much to cheer about. Don't have a name on the text. You can text again and tell me what your name is, and I'll mention it on the air. Let's get back to the phones here at 905-645-3221. Dave has called into the program. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Rick. Not so good tonight.
I know. You and me in the same boat.
And I got a couple points to make, but one of the first ones is, yeah, you got to take those rose-colored glasses off. This team will be lucky if they go 3-15.
Oh, no, don't say it, Dave.
Well, so first point is they beat Edmonton. Edmonton's winless. The Ottawa game was at home, coming off a bye. Masoli goes down, so you get Crum in there. His first CFL action. He didn't get first-team reps all that week. Would have been Masoli. And they came a yard away from beating Hamilton. So I think next week in Ottawa, they beat us, and I think come back home, Montreal thumps us, and I think we're 2-6 right there, and then we get into a harder schedule. I think Toronto goes 4-0 against us. And I don't understand what this love affair is with offensive coordinator Tommy Condell. Seems like a fantastic guy. Everybody loves him, speaks well of him. But we're going back all the way to 2013. Yeah, we were 6-12 and didn't make the playoffs in 2012 with George Cortez and Henry Burris, but we had the number one offense that year. And then he struggled with Burris. Burris went on to win another cup. He struggled with Kalaros. He's won multiple cups. You know, Dane Evans was terrible. We ran him out of town. Earlier in this season, Bo looked terrible. Tommy Condell's always been terrible in the red zone, especially 2014 Grey Cup. He had two cracks from the 6-yard line, lost the game. Defense shut him out second half against Bo Levi Mitchell. 2021, he had two cracks from the 7-yard line, I believe. Had to kick the field goal to send it into overtime. So his red zone's always been terrible. We bring in Kahari to be a little bit of a, you know, a consultant. We just leave him sitting there. This year we get Scott Milanovic. We just leave him there. First half, the defense held us in it. We never threw a pass until just before half. We didn't throw a pass over 10 yards. And we need 2nd and 10, we throw it 4 yards. We weren't even trying to score. We were trying not to lose and just make it look respectable. And I don't get it, and I don't care when Bo Levi Mitchell comes back, his first ballot Hall of Famer. Coach Condell has to go, offensive line's terrible, and obviously maybe Orlando Steinhauer needs to go because he can't make the tough calls. Scott Mitchell's fingerprints are all over this, and they don't care because they've sold lots of tickets this year, because to get a Grey Cup ticket and get it at a reasonable price, you had to get your season seats. This team goes 3-15. And the talent pool's been going down since Mr. Tillman left. And this whole management by committee he has. And we've had Alamang here, Drew Alamang, for 20 years. Scott Mitchell, 17, 18 years. The only time we made those 4 cups, because we had so much talent, we made the cup. And then it came down to coaching. I don't get it, and I'm not going to spend any of my money. But as born and raised in Hamilton and bleed black and gold, it's embarrassing. It's hurtful. Season was over after 2 or 3 weeks. 3-15 tops.
Dave, those are...
I'm heartbroken.
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it. This is the raw emotion that every Ticats fan is feeling, and you're expressing it here on the show, and that's what this show is all about. But before we let you go, player of the game, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, well, player of the game, obviously it's got to be Chad Kelly, but I will say I usually pick a hometown guy, like a Hamilton player. Taylor Powell was fine. It wasn't his fault. It was his play calling. I thought the kid gave us a chance to win. But all that first half, you were throwing screens and 3-4 yard passes. Didn't try to stretch the field. We get inside the 10. We never score inside the 10. And like I said, we had Burris, we had Claris, we got Dane Evans, we had Masoli. That's just not Tommy's thing. Going all the way back to the Grey Cup in 2014, we had the first, we shut him out. Steinhauer's defense shut him out the second half. We had the ball first down, I believe it was at the 6 or the 5. Couldn't get in. Had to settle for a field goal. You score there, you're ahead. 2021, had the first down, 6-yard line. Couldn't score. Had to kick the field goal. Going overtime, you lose. You can't score with 2 downs from the 6-yard line. And he's the constant. So,
too many missed opportunities, that is for sure. Dave, appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you too. I'll try to get through the off season and hope for next year. That's all we can do.
Appreciate it, Dave. That is Dave exiting the fifth quarter. We have lots more time for you to call in at 905-645-3221, *9900. We have Patty, Manny, Todd, Chris all waiting on the line. Facebook messages to get to, tweets and texts, email as well, rick@900CHML. This is the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford, and you're listening to 900CHML.
It's where Ticats fans come together. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML.
Chad Kelly looking in zone. It's a touchdown. A beautiful pass, and Curly Gittens Jr. finishes it off with the touchdown. He was instrumental on this drive for the Argos, and now it's a 2-touchdown lead for Toronto.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900CHML. RJ Broadhead, the call on 900CHML and the Ticats Audio Network. The Argonauts win 31-15 against Hamilton, 5-0 now for Toronto. Tops in the East Division. The Tiger Cats fall to 2-4. Their two-game winning streak is over. Next up for the Cats, Ottawa at TD Place Stadium in the nation's capital 1 week from tonight. Our pregame show will begin at 6:30. Kickoff is at 7:30, and of course, the fifth quarter will follow after that game. Got a tweet from Mark responding to Dave's call just moments ago. Mark says, F off, Dave. If you don't have faith when we lose, don't be there when we win. Hashtag crybaby, hashtag fifth quarter. Also a tweet from Ethan, who says, Taylor Powell's first game was good. Defense tried their best, but the offense can't score when in the red zone. Player of the game, McAllister, Tyreek McAllister, showing his electricity once again. This is a guy who, whenever he touches the football, can break it for a long score. And Paul says, drop balls and stupid penalties. Yeah, too many penalties tonight. 12 infractions for 100 yards. Last week, before we get back to the phones, this one from Bill, who says, this is a team that kills its own momentum repeatedly. 71-yard kickoff return to start the second half, and the OC calls a first down run that loses 3 yards to make it 2nd and 13. Settle for field goal. Ticats are 1st and goal at the 2, and Revenberg called for roughing, taking it back to the 17. Field goal again. And on and on and on. 905-645-3221, *9900 on your cell phone. rick@900chml.com is the email address, and you can text us as well, 905-645-3221. We're also on CHML's Facebook page as well. Got some comments I'll get to there in just a matter of minutes. But back to the phones we go. Todd has been patiently awaiting here and joins us now on the fifth quarter. Todd, good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
I am, befuddled, perplexed. It's not a good evening.
No, it's not. It's just another loss, unfortunately. Not even sure where to begin, really. I mean, our quarterback, Powell, I thought he looked all right. I don't think we did him any favors by the game plan we put together. Like, Why are you putting a rookie quarterback in and allowing him to throw the ball 41 times? Like, I think we should have somehow established some sort of a running game and then just kept running the ball, run the ball, just keep going. But for whatever reason, it seems like when our running game doesn't work, we just run away, like we just totally forget about it. And I think we failed him tonight. As for penalties, well, this is another typical night with penalties, right? So,
yeah, it was not a good night penalty-wise. I think you make a great point in terms of Powell. They asked him to be a game manager, but also asked him to throw the ball 41 times. You have to mix in more than screens, quick outs, button hooks, dig routes, stretch the field. They didn't do any of that tonight, and the offensive line did not help the run game at all tonight either.
No, but we never stretch the field. That's our typical game plan, is these little dump-off passes, you know, little screen passes. It's the same thing every game, it seems, and we keep just going through quarterbacks, like, oh, quarterback's no good, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him. Well, I think the problem is our offensive coordinator. He's the only person that's still here from all those years, all those quarterbacks we've gone through. Now we got nobody. We have no quarterbacks. At one time, we had too many good quarterbacks. Now we got nothing. We got Bo Levi Mitchell, who, I don't know, is he still good? Does he still have something left in the tank? I'm not sure. From what I've seen from this year, I don't know. But I guess we'll see once he comes back. But I think it's time to start looking at the coaching staff, starting from Steinauer down to Washington and Condell. The only person on the coaching staff I'd keep would be our special teams, Reinbold. That's the only consistent thing we have, I think, is our special teams.
I'll say this, Jeff Reinbold made a big impact tonight, whether it was, you know, calling the onside punt, which they recovered, that set up yet, you know, another field goal, you know, discovering that, you know, McAllister is a leg up and a step up from Leandre Gallimore, who had a, you know, a really good preseason. He is just a master of making the best out of what they have on that special teams unit.
Absolutely. I think he's the best special teams coach in the league. And ever since we've had him, we've been so consistent on our special teams, just everywhere else. And like you said, with Steinauer, he's running the whole team now. He's president of football operations. So everything that's going on is on, it has to fall back on him. So at some point, I think we need to look at, maybe he's just not that guy. I think the only thing that's carrying Steinauer along is he's that nice guy. Everybody likes him. So, you know, let's just keep him around. Well, he's not doing anything. Like, he was handed a team that was pretty much, they should have been Grey Cup winners. They didn't win the Grey Cup. When we played Winnipeg the first time there, we didn't even show up for that game. That was a big disappointment. And then in our second Grey Cup there, well, we all know what happened there with our little special teams blunder, and I'm not even sure whose fault that was, but we've just been going downhill. And then this year in the offseason, we get rid of all our veterans on defense in our backfield there, and then you wonder why we're struggling against the long ball.
Todd, who is your player of the game tonight?
I'm going to give it to the fans that showed up tonight and stayed. And, yeah, definitely the fans. We sold out tonight, and unfortunately we didn't get the result we were looking for.
Yeah, all the fans came out, but they were not rewarded with a victory. Todd, thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Oh, yeah, you too.
Good call by Todd. Let's get quickly to some CHML Facebook page comments, and then we'll get back to the phones. Peter says, speechless. I can't comment on this garbage team. This team is as good as it's ever going to get, which sadly, it's just not good enough. And all you people with the rose-colored glasses need to put down the Kool-Aid and have a bite of reality pie. Glenn says, Coach O, Washington, Condell all need to go. Penalties are terrible. Coaches have no fire. Players don't have any confidence in coaches, nor do the fans. Organization doesn't care as long as the stadium keeps selling out. And Jim says, OC needs a lobotomy. Why wasn't Powell rolling out of the pocket to help the porous O-line and to buy Taylor more time? Also, having number 9 and 35 on the field would have given the Argos D something more to think about. Finally, player of the game from the Cats, our punter. I believe no penalties on his kicks and executed the short punt. Discipline still lacking, a coaching issue, says Jim. What say you? 905-645-3221, *9900. Chris has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Rick. Great. Thanks for having me on. I would like to just slightly respectfully disagree with you, though. You've added up all the things that were against the Ticats. A six-player injury league looked like a fantasy football team. We were struggling. We've got a third-string quarterback coming in with a fourth string that we signed on Monday against a well-oiled, well-rested Trona Argonaut team hasn't lost yet that is firing on all cylinders. This is a recipe that could have been a massive blowout for the Hamilton Ticats, but there were still fans in the seats in the fourth quarter thinking that there might be a chance to win. Now, granted, that's not going to get us a Grey Cup. I'm just going to concede that right there. This is not the most optimal time. I just don't understand the people like Dave, where they bring up multiple valid points that I can't contend with. However, when you start complaining about, oh, we barely beat Edmonton, and Toronto basically hammered our third string, more or less, the defense wasn't that bad in the first. They made some key stops even in the first. They were there. The team's got something. Again, do I think we stand pat and this is going to be the team that will take us to the promised land? Well, no, I don't think I'd go that far. It wasn't that bad. It could have been worse. Powell has a chance. It really looked like to me, watching the game, that Powell was shackled. There's a few times where he had an open lane that he could have run and picked up probably 10 yards a few times there, but instead he stayed in the pocket, ran back, and threw the ball. And I really think that Hamilton didn't want to risk the third-string quarterback and putting in basically a Montreal quarterback that I don't even know if he knows the offense's names in case something happens to him. Powell just seemed like they really babied him. And to be honest, he really didn't mess up, which for a first time out in a rivalry game like this, going against the first division, like, again, Rick, just to put a cap on it again, it could have been so much worse. There's potential here. It's not as bad as all the Hamilton fans are saying. And believe me, I'm a longtime suffering Hamilton fan.
Well, join the club, Chris. Who's your player of the game tonight?
You know what? Just as a sheer vote of confidence, I'm going to give it to Powell. Just he did the best he could. He'll be having the ball next week again, I'm sure. I just want to say he did fine. Take the ball again. Let's get a win.
That would be nice. Chris, thanks for the call. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you very much.
That is Chris, and leaves room for you at 905-645-3221, *9900 on your mobile device. When we come back after the break, it's Patty's turn, and then Manny, and then Corey, and again, there's room for you to email as well, rick@900chml.com, on CHML's Facebook page as well. This is the fifth quarter, brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
We're talking Ticats football. This is the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Second and 10 for the Argos from the Hamilton 32. Chad Kelly back to pass again. Throws over the middle. It's complete. It's a first down and more. Tavares Daniels has a touchdown.
And the Argos kept rolling from there. 31-15, the final in favor of Toronto. 5-0 for the first time since 1960. What were you doing in 1960? I wasn't even around. The Ticats are 2-4 on the season. Their modest two-game run has come to an end, and the Argos have now won 8 of their last 9 against the Tiger Cats in the regular season. Next up for Hamilton, they're in Ottawa 1 week from tonight, July the 28th, 7:30 kickoff. Our pregame show on CHML will begin at 6:30, and of course, the fifth quarter will follow the game. Email from Stephen out in Penticton, BC, who always emails after each and every game. Greetings, Rick. Our guys came out very flat yet again. For whatever reason, in the first half, the defense was not there. They are not playing up to standards. Offense was offensive. Yeah, third stringer starting QB, I get it. Player of the game, for the first time in my life, an Argo. Kelly, disappointing loss. Thought the Cats would play with more fire in their belly. As far as winning games this year, Rick, maybe 8. Maybe. That's the number I am now deciding on. It's going to be 8, I think. And maybe most of you are hoping for that number, seeing that they're 2-4 right now. And an email from Ken, who says, I don't think it's all doom and gloom, really. Whether we like it or not, the Argos right now are the class of the league. We have a lot of injuries and not just QBs. Player of the game for me is Powell for being a rookie starter and not doing anything stupid. That email from Ken. You can email as well. rick@900chml.com is the email address. And one more text before we go to the phone lines. This one is from Jeff in Edmonton. Jeff writes, hey, Rick, I'm happy to say that Taylor P is better than Taylor C, as in Powell over Cornelius. Overall, I liked what I saw from him tonight. He seemed calm and fairly composed in the pocket while there was one, and accurate when he was able to actually throw. This kid's got a bad deal having to play the Argos in his first start. He's definitely better than Crum. We'll beat Ottawa next week. Still lots of season left. This is far from over. Great text from Jeff. You can text as well, 905-645-3221. All right, to Patty we go on the phone line. Patty, thanks for waiting patiently here. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good, sir. Thank you very much. Yes, it was a disappointing game. I just a couple points out, if I could. Powell did fine, considering he had no front line to protect him. I'd like it if he was able to do a little more scrambling, but I don't think that's his strength. He is a good passer, I'll give him that, but we do need to get the ball more down the field. We can't do all the side outs all the time. With that, I think our O-line really is struggling right now. Defense, I think, is doing okay. The O-line, I think, is struggling to give him any protection. I don't think it mattered what quarterback would be in position. If you don't have an O-line, you really are scrambling and running around anyway. But I do think Powell did just fine. For me, I'd say Sweet Caroline would be my player of the game because at least got people out of the stands and being able to dance.
I love it. Patty, appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sweet Caroline, the quote-unquote player of the game, according to Patty. Stuart on CHML's Facebook page writes, Stuart from Brooklyn, New York, even though we lost a tough game to the champions, I'm happy with Powell's play. Looked like we have a QB, and I love the trick play by the special teams. And I love those passes to Godwin. I thought defense played well in the second half. Why can't we get McAllister involved more on offense? And that, I think, would be a recipe for success. Have more playmakers on the field so they can make those game-changing plays. Manny has joined us on the fifth quarter. Hello, Manny. How are you?
Good, buddy. Long time no talk.
Yeah. How are you?
We were talking there Tuesday together, and I was kind of pumped about this game because I thought it would be a lot more intensity anyways. Look, at the end of the day, I mean, Toronto right now is a very good football team, and going in, at best, a close game, and it was for a little bit there, would have been probably what most of us would have been happy with. And obviously a win would have been a little bit more exciting or more favorable for us, for all of us. But let's be realistic. We've got a third-string quarterback who did amazingly well, and we're playing a very good football team. And it's just what a lot of people have said. To me, it's a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of mistakes at the wrong times. You know, you come out and you're one touchdown away, and I think the second play after that, they throw a deep ball, and Daniels makes a fantastic catch. And the guy's wide open, and all of a sudden, you know, you could push him back and stop him there, and you got the ball back, and you're down by a converted touchdown, a two-point converted touchdown, and you're tied game. So, all in all, listen, I think I agree with most of what you said about it being around 8-10. I think 9-9 would be more, you know, I'm just going to be a little bit more optimistic there and say we can do 9-9. There's a lot more parity in people think. People keep knocking down the Eskimos and that. The Eskimos took Winnipeg.
Let's call them the Elks.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The Elks. Yeah.
Yeah. Force of habit. I know.
The Elks took the Bombers right down to the wire. The Alouettes were a few plays away from beating the Argos, giving them their first loss. So and Crom looks very good in with the Red Blacks. And so there's a lot more parity than we think in the league. There's not really, to be honest, like anybody can beat anybody, I feel, at any given week, which is nice to see, is what you want to see, right? So I don't think we're as bad as we think we are. We're probably not as good as we are, or we think we started the season before the season started. And I think the reality is, what a lot of people have been saying since week one, you know, you got a great coach in Scott Milanovic, a former coach, sitting there doing nothing. I think it's time that he takes over for Condell.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that, and I think that a change is needed because we've seen too much of the same thing over and over and over again. I think this offense needs a breath of fresh air. And again, I preface those comments saying that, yeah, we're on our third-string quarterback. We have injury issues not only at the quarterback position, but the game plan, the game scheme, the play calling is not being changed. I think we need some new life in there. Before we let you go, your player of the game tonight.
Yeah, sorry, just one more thought. Sorry. Yeah, exactly what you just said now. The game scheme, well, we played the same team. We couldn't match up with them offensively, but yet we did better than them in special teams. That's all coaching. That coaching, it comes down to
100%,
Jeff Lennon. So anyways, my player of the game, I think, was Richard Leonard.
All right, yeah, he had a strong outing. Manning, appreciate the call. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
905-645-3221. Corey has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Corey, how are you?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm okay.
You're doing a little bit better than 20 minutes ago. You were saying you're bitter and a little bit mad.
Yeah, I'm coming down. I'm coming down from the ceiling a little bit.
Same here. I'm glad I caught you a little bit later tonight.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on tonight's game?
I don't know. Losing to the Argos sucks. Like, I don't like losing anyways, but losing to the Argos at home is probably one of the worst things to do as a Ticat fan. Losing in this fashion, they ran the ball to Ouellette 10 times for 84 yards. We ran the ball a total of 14 times, I think, for about 30-something yards. That's a losing formula. Powell did okay. He did enough throwing the ball. He didn't make any crucial mistakes other than some drop balls, some stall drivers. And that pick, that almost went for the pick six, obviously was brutal. But he didn't do anything to lose us the game. And I haven't jumped on Condell on here really at all, but I might be joining that bandwagon saying that maybe it's time to move on from him, and a stale loaf of bread never comes back. So I'd just like to see something change in that aspect. Tyreek McAllister, Tim White had what? Three touches the whole game.
Yeah, he had three targets, no catches.
No, I mean touches though between the two of them. Tim White didn't have a catch. He had a rush. Tyreek McAllister touched the ball what, three times? That's not enough. I get Godwin had a great game. Duke had a great game. Keandre dropped some balls tonight. But when you have your playmaker, your dynamic playmaker that's been a burst of offense in the last couple weeks, disappear, and your guy that was, what, MOP candidate last year, kind of disappear for the first 6 weeks of the season. He hasn't been playing great. I know he's got his yards. I know he's been there, but it doesn't seem to be the same as it was, and I don't know, if I'm jumping on that Condell's train where he's not calling the plays right, or anything, and the third-string quarterback, Bo Levi, I haven't been a fan since we signed him. I wanted Schiltz. I wanted somebody else other than him. But it's just one of those things where our team seems to be in the wrong rut for a Grey Cup year. We invested a lot of money. It's like buying a house. We put our money all on a house, and now the mortgage rate has gone sky high on Bo Levi. And we have no other options other than to just maybe eat it for the season.
We shall see. Corey, who's your player of the game tonight?
For me, I think I'm going to go with an unpopular opinion here. I think our linebacking core needs a change. Not Jameer Thurman, not Chris Edwards, but the other side linebacker. And everybody loves him. But I think he might be done. And I think Kyle Wilson should be the guy that steps in there, because that guy's a beast. He plays on special teams. He played last year when that linebacker was out injured all year. He's been here for 3 years. Kyle Wilson's my guy. He's been my guy for 2 years now. And he's my player of the game. But I'd like to also give a shout-out to Section 101. Again, I always do. Melissa tonight, She's the biggest fan. She's the best. She's the best fan. Melissa, I know she's listening, and I just want to say thanks for being the best.
All right, sounds good. Corey, appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend. 905-645-3221. We have Anthony and Patty standing by. We'll get to them on the other side of the break here as we analyze the Ticats' 31-15 loss against the Toronto Argonauts here on the fifth quarter. Brought to you by Eastgate Ford. Stay tuned. This is 900 CHML.
Welcoming Ticats fans, young and old, you're listening to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Taylor Powell might look that direction again. He's under pressure, has to run, runs to his right. He's at the five. Touchdown, Tiger Cats! Taylor Powell, his first CFL touchdown. Wow. And the Tiger Cats have turned this into a one-possession game.
Well, that made it 23-15 for the Argos. The extra point convert missed by Mark Leggio. He doesn't miss field goals, but he apparently misses extra points. Ticats fall 31-15 at the hands of the Argos, who are now 5-0. Hamilton 2-4. They'll try to get back into the win column 1 week from tonight when they take on the Red Blacks in the Capital. Kickoff from TD Play Stadium is at 7:30. Our pregame show will begin at 6:30. And, of course, 30 minutes after the final whistle, 1 week from tonight, we will have the fifth quarter. It's brought to you by Eastgate Ford. You're listening to 900 CHML. Got an email from Rick who says, can we trade coaches with Edmonton? That would be interesting. That would be maybe the most interesting in-season move in the history of the Canadian Football League. We've traded coaches. Email from Tom. Hi, Rick. I think most of us expected a repeat of the Labor Day blowout last year, going against a sound Argos team with a third-string rookie quarterback forced into starting duty. By halftime, it looked like that's what was going to happen, but the whole team refused to quit, and the Cats came up strong in the second half. Kelly had 248 passing yards in the first half, less than 60 in the second, and the defense forced several two and outs. Powell generated a lot of offense and made the game close. A couple of dumb penalties hurt. Argos had some dumb ones too. We're all disappointed in the outcome, but the spirit shown in the second half bodes well for the rest of the season. Tom from Guelph. And that's a good point. You know, this team, even producer Ben during the game said, you know what, this team does not have quit in its vocabulary. It is, even when down 20 to nothing, you didn't see any guys sulking or pouting or, you know, with a woe-is-me attitude. They kept on pushing and pressing and trying to get back into the ballgame. Let's get back to the phones. Anthony has been waiting on the line. Anthony, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Rick. It's Ottawa Rough Rider Anthony. I haven't spoken to you in a while now.
Hey, it's the Red Blacks now, isn't it?
Well, not for me. It'll always be the Rough Riders. And you asked, what were you doing in 1960? Well, I was trying to survive as a newborn infant in this crazy world. But just for the record, in 1960, the Argos might have been 5-0, but they didn't win the Grey Cup. It was the Ottawa Rough Riders. Now, mind you, they had Russ Jackson and Ronnie Lancaster as their quarterbacks, but that's a whole other...
Yeah, that's a pretty good tandem.
That's a whole other discussion. But they were the Argos were 5-0, and they didn't win the Grey Cup. I liked Edgy Rick at the start there. You know, cut to the chase. I really liked that. That was good. You know, because a lot of the time it's just too much peace, love, and harmony. I don't think this team, the Tiger Cats, play with enough animus, you know, enough venom, the edge. It's just not there, you know. They need more Ange Mosca kind of stuff. You know, and the Revenberg penalty, that wasn't a penalty. I think that you've got NFL cuts coming. And for whatever reason, a lot of those guys could play in any league, but they end up getting cut. And there's a lot of talent there. I'd like to know where Bethel Thompson is. I hope Ottawa grabs him before the Cats do or anybody else does, because he's the one who took the Argos to the Grey Cup last year. And then this Chad Kelly ran around for a bit in the fourth quarter and won it for them. But you've got people out there that can play. And, I just don't think this team has enough, they don't play with enough edge. Do you remember the Ange Mosca clip on the stage in B.C. with the B.C. quarterback? That was a 60-year feud, you know?
Yeah, that was him and Joe Capp reliving the glory days, yeah.
Yeah, that was a 60-year feud. Now it's hold hands after the game, prayed together. Did you see the touchdown celebration that they did in your end zone? They came into your house and did that. Not in Ange's days.
Oh, heads would have rolled in those days. My gosh.
Exactly. They need to roll now. And this Chad Kelly guy, they make him out to be the next. As soon as they've got enough film on him, he can be beat. The Argos can be beat. But you're not going to win in Ottawa next week. That's for sure. You shouldn't have won a week ago. But that's all I've got to say. Nice to talk to you again. Maybe we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Do you have a player or a game before we let you go?
You know, the quarterback. I think that when you've got a situation like that, your O-line doesn't match up against your D-line. You've got to have more rollout, you know, take off, make it second and five, second and six instead of second and 17 after a sack. Put a second running back in the backfield for more protection like Ottawa did last week. And this is a CFL. Anybody could be beat at any time. You can turn the season around at any time. You know, typical Cat fans, they like give up after four or five games. Like, don't give up. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Anyways, have a great night and keep the faith.
You got it. Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, listen, we all know that the season is long. We're only a third of the way through the season. We played six games. They played six games. There are 12 more games to go. Lots of stuff can happen in 12 games. And let's just hope that this team starts to get healthy. And some guys have returned to practice. Dylan Wynn was at practice this week, wasn't 100% ready to go this week. Cedric Wilcots was back, Alex Fontana. Guys are getting healthy. Sooner rather than later, I would assume, Bo Levi will get back in. We've only seen him for a game and a half. We've only been teased by what Bo Levi Mitchell can do. Patty has called into the fifth quarter. Hello, Patty. How are you?
How you doing, Rick?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very well. I listen to you every morning, and I love this opportunity to have a nice late-night chat with you.
Excellent. I appreciate you calling in.
So, a couple things. One, I agree with our previous caller, Anthony, about not enough vim and vigor, especially out of the gate. You know, it was a sad, soft first quarter. It seems to be the theme so far this year.
Yeah, there's not enough oomph in this team. They need something.
Yeah, exactly. But a couple things. One, play calling was the biggest myth for me tonight. You know, it just seemed like, you know, multiple callers have talked about, you know, like overrunning the ball in a league where, come on, just throw the ball, you know. And one of the biggest things I've noticed is that, you know, sure, Powell's on game, you know, one and a half now. But, you know, let him take a shot deep. There was nothing. I don't recall a single pass that was attempted that was maybe beyond 20 yards. So
it was all nickel and diamond.
Yeah, like let the kid at least on a, you know, you get some momentum, you get a first down. Let him take a shot. Let him go throw the ball.
So, I totally agree with you. We're running out of time, but I need your player of the game.
Okay, honorable mention to Adeleke. I thought he came with some good hits, although defense was lacking across the board. But to be honest, my player of the game is Powell. You know, I think the kid's got a lot more potential than we saw tonight. I think let him get a little bit more comfortable. You know, Bo Levi's got no specific timeline of return. So, you know, we'll see if Matt Schultz is healthy. But, you know, let the kids throw the ball. See what we can do.
Great call to end the show. Patty, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Rick. And I'll hear you on Monday.
You got it. Appreciate it. Yes, good morning, Hamilton. Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9 right here on 900 CHML. Shameless plug. All right, we got to do our end of show awards. Big play of the game was Taylor Powell's 13-yard TD run, first of his career. The player of the game, Taylor Powell, voted by you, the fans. And the fan of the night is Patty, the first Patty, not the one that we just talked to, although he had a good call as well. The female version is our fifth quarter fan of the night. The next game for these Hamilton Tiger Cats, who are now 2-4, last in the East Division, is 1 week from tonight. They'll take on the Ottawa Red Blacks in the Capital. Should be an entertaining game. We'll see how it all comes to be. For producer Ben Strawn, my name's Rick Samprin. Thank you for everyone for calling in, emailing, texting on Facebook Live as well. It's always a pleasure to talk the CFL and Ticats with you each and every time after the Ticats play. And hopefully when we hook up next, it is going to be a much more joyous occasion come this Ticats team. We got to go. Coming up on Monday, we'll recap what happened with the Ticats and the Argonauts on Good Morning Hamilton. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and thank you for listening to the fifth quarter brought to you by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
Where Ticats fans come together, win or lose. Listen after every game to the fifth quarter, powered by Eastgate Ford on 900 CHML.
The fifth quarter podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.